Colossians 1, beginning with verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which was given me to you, word, to fill the word of God, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid for ages and generations, but now has it been manifested to his saints, to whom God has pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I labor also, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would have you known, how greatly I strive for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, even Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden." May God bless his holy word.
Let's pray. Abba, Father, we look to you now, having read your word. We pray that you would be well pleased, Lord, to open up our understanding to these words of your son, the Apostle Paul. We pray, Lord God, that you would give us at First Baptist Church a clear vision of your will for us at this time. And we pray it for Christ's sake, that he may be glorified. Amen. Last week, we talked about questions of why, if you'll recall. Why do we do the things that we do here? Why do we practice our faith with the means and the methods that we do? Why these forms? Do you remember? Why do we leave out certain things, and why do we include and emphasize certain things? Today I want to ask you another why question, but from a different perspective. Why even have First Baptist Church? Why even have it? That is, we're getting down to something more fundamental than why does First Baptist preach the doctrines that it preaches as opposed to other ones, and why do we practice church the way that we do, as far as being the offspring of the Reformation 500 years ago, and the return to the biblical gospel and biblical authority, which we talked about last week. Why even have a church? Why start one? Why continue one? What is its objective? What is its purpose? If you come here, what should you expect to receive? What should you expect to undergo? If you serve here, what is your objective? Okay, we say we're saved to serve, right? We're saved to serve. Well, what do you mean by that? Does service itself have a point? Does it have a goal? Or is it just service for service's sake? The deacons and I have been talking for a couple of months now about reevaluating or refreshing or updating our documents, okay, namely our church constitution and our bylaws too. And really, you have to begin at the beginning, don't you? Okay, it's the first question you have to state with clarity. You have to ask yourself this question. Try to put into words, what is our purpose? What are we here for? Are we trying to accomplish something? Why even have a thing called First Baptist Church? Is it to provide a forum for people to, you know, be Christians, take in a sermon, visit with our friends, spend an hour with God, hear some lessons about spiritual things. In all of this stuff, there's an objective, right? Are we moving in a certain direction? We have some kind of goal to meet, or are we just kind of, do we like doing the same thing week after week and enjoying the status quo? Okay, this is a nice experience. I hope you're enjoying yourself. It's pleasant. We just want to keep on doing what we're doing. If First Baptist Church were to measure success, how might we measure it? What is success for us? Okay, we want to be useful to God, so how do we measure that usefulness? How do we know if we're making any progress? Is it even the point to make progress of some kind, or is the point just to be? I think you can get that actually in some churches now. You know, they de-emphasize any kind of doing, and they say, really, we just want to emphasize the being. Okay, doesn't the Lord set some kind of objective for his churches beyond simply gathering on a regular basis for worship services? Okay, of course, if there's an answer to that, then where are we going to get our answer? Okay, the Word of God, right? It's what we talked about that last week. It's our foundational scripture, foundational belief that Scripture alone is our trustworthy authority. It's the source of our answers. Okay, we can't just say, well, you know, we got together, we put our heads together, we feel like doing this certain thing, we feel like our church ought to do this or that. Does the Spirit of God tell us what direction we're supposed to move in? And of course he does, if you're looking for it. So to Colossians, here's the man Paul, right? Of course Paul is a key figure in the Lord's plan of redemption, okay, in his gospel program. The salvation of the world, if you please, has had a process, right, from the choosing of Abraham, the development and choosing of the nation of Israel, the bringing forth the Messiah, now the gospel's gone out into all the world, okay? There's an obvious sense of a plan that is making progress, right? The choosing of Paul is for a purpose, okay? Christ did not just select and choose Paul just to be a Christian, okay, not just to become a Christian. Christ set him some objectives, okay? He's got goals that are in some sense measurable, okay? And churches that are constituted or established in the gospel model or in the New Testament model, which is, I assume, what we want to be, right? Okay, if we're gonna do church, we should do it biblically. Churches that are constituted on the New Testament model should be on board with that same purpose. And we can see in the apostles' letters what the objectives of churches ought to be. So, okay, here we are in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. In this letter, Paul states, as you would find it, he does this in most of his letters, actually. He states his purpose. He states the objective he is working so hard to accomplish. When he says in verse 25 that I became a minister of the church, okay, that God gave me a stewardship to fulfill his word, to fulfill what's foretold in his word, Paul is about to tell us what is the goal of that appointment. Okay, what was the objective? And that objective is not just his alone, the single man Paul, okay? He sees it also as the objective he's going to leave afterward to his proteges, okay? People like Timothy and Titus, okay? They're going to also take up the same purpose, and they're going to continue to carry it on wherever they plant a church. He tells Timothy, preach the word, okay? That tells Timothy what to do, but why? He says about himself here in verse 28, him we preach, okay? We preach Christ, okay? Him we proclaim. Same thing, okay? It's preach Christ, preach the word of Christ. It's the same, okay? That tells you what I do, but to what end, okay? It's like saying here, steer this ship. You take the wheel, okay? Okay, but where? Are we just going to go around the harbor? Are we going to just try to avoid the rocks? Where are we going? Okay. Last week, sola scriptura, right? The word of God, preach it. Yes, teach it. I told you I will commit to you to teach you the word of God. What's my objective in doing that? Okay, what's our church's objective? If we know what it is as a church, it will then color and inform and shape everything that we do. Okay, all of the ministry that we do, all of the outreach that we do, all of the counseling that we do, the policies we put in place, which projects and programs we're going to spend time and money on. Okay, whereas if we don't have a clear sense of what's our objective, we're just going to sort of drift around. Okay, and I think we'll never really know, did we get anywhere? Okay, we can't really have any assurance as to whether we successfully have turned our five talents into five more. Okay, have we finished the race? Have we fought the good fight? Have we achieved our goal? Okay, don't you think it's fair that if we're going to ask you to serve in some capacity as part of our team, that we let you know what it is that our team is trying to accomplish? Don't you think it's fair that if we direct you to submit to our authority, that you understand why? Okay, it's not just authority for authority's sake, you know, just so we can stick our noses in your business and have people to boss around. All right, Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man, okay, each one, perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay, the word perfect, teleos, it means mature. Okay, it means complete, a finished product, okay, completed. But also the idea in that word is blamelessness is included, okay? To this end I labor, it's verse 29. Okay, to this end I labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. Okay, to this end I labor. All my hard work, all my traveling, all my preaching, all my teaching, all my writing of letters, all my reasoning with people, all of my searching the scriptures is aimed toward presenting individual men and women to God, mature and complete, renewed in the likeness of their Creator, holy and blameless in body, soul, and spirit on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified through and through. That's 1 Thessalonians. Okay? Chapter 2 says, verse 1, I want you to know what a great conflict I have. And the NIV says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. Okay, and for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not met me personally, okay? So that, verse 2, the NIV actually adds the words at the beginning of verse 2, my purpose is that their hearts may be encouraged, that they may be knit together in love, that they may attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, and that they may know the mystery of God. Okay? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Should be just a few pages to the right from where you are. See what Paul says to Timothy about purpose. 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 6. Okay, what you'll notice in this little passage is that there is a what to do, and there's a why to do it. Okay? 1 Timothy 1, 3, Paul says to Timothy, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may, here's what to do, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Verse 5, the purpose of this commandment, the purpose is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith, from which some having strayed turned aside to idle talk. Okay, Timothy, you have work to do there. You have things to teach. to admonish, things to set in order, to warn, to command the people of God. What's your objective? What is the finished product going to look like? Verse 5, the goal, the purpose, love, a pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith, godly edification, each one of them, each one. All your work, Timothy, is toward that end so that you can present each one of them perfect in Christ. To that end, you must labor and strive according to the working of God, which works in you mightily. You want their hearts to be encouraged. You want them to be knit together in love. You want them to gain full comprehension of the mysteries of God so that they may attain the spiritual riches that come with being completely certain, absolutely sure of the truths about Jesus Christ and all of God's promises to us in him. Understand? Now look at the next chapter also, chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2. Again, a what to teach and a why to teach it. He says, therefore, I exhort first of all, here's the what to teach. Here's what I want you to do there, Timothy. I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. This is the thing that you should do as a church. Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Here's the why. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay, and verse 7, skip down to verse 7. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Okay, why was I appointed a preacher and an apostle? Jesus told him, okay, in the book of Acts, when Jesus converted him, it's to make you a minister to the Gentiles. Okay, a minister means a servant. You're going to provide the Gentiles with a service, so to speak, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins, so that they can receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And Paul says, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Okay, I was not disobedient to my commission. I began then to labor and strive to declare first to my own people, also to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and conduct themselves in keeping with repentance. Okay, in other words, make the necessary changes in your life. Why this striving and laboring? In order to present each one of them perfect in Christ. That's his purpose. Okay, he has objectives. It is the purpose for the churches that he plants. It's the purpose that he's going to pass on to his associates, Timothy and Titus and the others. Okay, he gets involved in people's lives. He uses the scriptures for what they're useful for, teaching, reproving people, correcting people, exhorting people, training individuals in righteousness, equipping each one for works of service until we all stand perfect and complete in him. Now, First Baptist Church, that is what our purpose has to be. I don't want to just have some generic sounding statement of purpose in our Constitution. Right now it says to advance the kingdom of God. Okay, that's not bad, but it's so vague it's impossible to evaluate. What do you mean to advance the kingdom of God? Okay, our purpose is the saving and the shaping and the training in godliness of men and women and children to this end, to present each one of them mature and complete and fully assured in Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. That's why have a church at all. Okay, it is that we may participate with Jesus Christ himself in the project of bringing many sons to glory. Okay, go back to Colossians, you see 1:24, where we began. Paul says, I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Okay, what is he saying there? What do you mean, fill up what is lacking? Well, what he's saying is Christ's death and resurrection makes renewal possible. Okay, because Christ died and was raised again, the door is open for any man, woman, or child. The door is open for reconciliation. The way is now paved for God to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit into a man's or a woman's life. But there is yet work to be done in bringing many sons to glory. Okay, that is what First Baptist Church has to be on about. Okay, we don't exist just so that men and women can merely come and give some kind of verbal, assent, a nod of the head to the concepts of the gospel, and then don't go any farther. Okay, we are here to develop, to mature, to perfect you, each one. Now, obviously, the phrase "each one" includes you. It includes you, and you, and you. Look at me. And you. And you. And you. Each one.
Amen. Amen.
Each one.
Amen.
Perfect in Christ.
Amen.
Look at me. If you are going to attend, and if you are going to be part of our fellowship, you are going to be subject to the process of being perfected and matured in Christ Jesus. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present each one perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. He says, chapter 2, I struggle for you so that your hearts may be encouraged, so that you may be knit together in love, so that you may attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Okay, these are like the sub-points of presenting each person perfect in Christ, encouraging hearts, knitting them together in love, giving them the knowledge of God's mystery, okay, the comprehension of this book, okay, the big picture plan. Why Christ? Why Israel? Why? What did the prophets say? What's the olive tree you've been grafted into? Where's history going? What's the kingdom of God? The comprehension of his word. What's God's will for you and me? To give people the knowledge of these things so that they can be completely certain and fully assured. Everything Paul did was with that goal in mind. And everything we do here has to be toward that end. So if somebody's going to become a deacon, what should their objective be? What's the big picture? Okay, what are you being called to do to serve as a deacon? If somebody's going to teach a Sunday school class, what is your ultimate objective? Okay, why do we have a missions committee? Just because that's what churches do? Why is there a Baptist women's meeting tomorrow night or any other night? Okay, is it just another thing to do? Another reason to get together exchange gifts and eat a cookie? Okay, if someone were to have a children's outreach, like say Kids Can Cook or anything else, or if somebody were just to be a helper in the children's outreach, what's got to be operating there in the back of your mind? Here are some little ones, some individuals precious to God that we are hoping, we are striving to present to the Heavenly Father perfect in Christ Jesus someday. Do you get it? Okay? Growing our attendance, growing our number, isn't in and of itself a worthy goal. It's not an honorable goal in and of itself. If God were to entrust us with a single soul, he has done it for this purpose, so that that soul can be brought to completion brought to perfection, brought to blamelessness in Christ Jesus. Now, you must understand that is why God has designed the church, has appointed the church to have authority, not to lord it over you, okay? Not to enslave you, not to meddle, okay? Not to embarrass you. But the calling and the appointment of that the Lord has laid upon the leadership of a church is to see to it that individuals are personally being built up, strengthened, admonished, trained, matured in righteousness and genuine holiness. Okay, it is with a view to bringing out certain outcomes in individual Christian lives. What do I mean? I mean, we desire certain outcomes with respect to knowledge, with respect to relationships, with respect to personal conduct. Okay, what do I mean? If you're ignorant of the Bible, like I said, you don't understand God, you don't know what God's will is, you don't understand his ways, you don't know the progression of his plan towards an ultimate conclusion, we want to teach you that, okay? We want you to get a firm handle on what's in the Bible, okay? Knowledge. Relationships, okay? We want to see certain outcomes with regard to your personal relationships. Love. Forgiveness. Reconciliation, mutual honor and submission, openness, harmony in the home, child rearing. Okay, we want certain outcomes with regard to conduct, your personal conduct, things like integrity, truthfulness, purity, sexual integrity, self-control. Okay, those kinds of things. All of that is by nature personal. Okay, it's personal. You might think it's intrusive. Preaching God's word, though, is not supposed to just be general, you know, generic saying stuff out to an audience. Okay, it is personal for you because God's desire is that you personally be presented perfect, complete, mature, blameless in Jesus Christ on the day of his glorifications. Okay, Colossians 3 is going to go on to say, when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will be revealed with him in glory, right? That's if you set your mind on things above. That's if you put on the new and put off the old, the sort of things that bring God's wrath upon the disobedient. Okay, so the church has a purpose, it has authority, it has objectives. And, you know, when I talk about authority, it's not just a top-down authority, so to speak. It's the church has a mutual authority, okay? It's an authority of peers, of brothers, okay? It's not just that the pastor and the deacons have been charged with presenting each one perfect in Christ. There's a responsibility, my friends, to each other, okay?
Amen.
As for the leaders, the scripture does say, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to their authority because they keep watch over your souls as men who must give an account. Okay, they've been charged with presenting each one perfect before Christ, each one of you, and they're not allowed to just let you wander off wherever. But as to the membership, okay, the brotherhood of believers, the scripture says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It says, teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Restore the ones overtaken in a sin. It is a mutual responsibility, and each one of you also will have an account to render before God as to how did you discharge this duty towards your brothers, to help them on toward perfection. Now, as humans, and in my opinion, I think it's especially being Americans, we naturally resent or resist. We get our hackles up anytime you start talking about somebody having authority in your lives, because everything in the United States is about independence. Okay? It's about doing it myself. It's about going it alone, choosing my own way, carving out my own destiny, fulfilling my own dream, whatever, being self-sufficient. You have got to die to that. Do you understand? Christ has put you in the church. He has given the church to you to be involved in each other's lives and to help and admonish and warn and teach and bear one another up to this end, that we may all stand perfect and complete in Him. Okay? When somebody joins First Baptist Church and we ask them the questions, this is what we say. Okay? Will you commit yourselves to Him, to them? Okay? Will you commit yourself to one another to nourish and be nourished, to pray for each other, mourn with each other, rejoice with each other, so that we may all grow in the knowledge, likeness, and love of Christ until we all stand perfect and complete in Him? Okay? When in our church covenant, it says the same thing. James, in his letter, tells us this is the whole point. God chose to give us the new birth through the word of truth so that we might be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Okay? To make us a first fruits of His creation. If we aren't moving toward that goal of maturity, completion, we will have failed. The leadership will have failed. The brotherhood will have failed. Okay, my question then for you is, do you even want to be presented complete, holy and blameless in the presence of God in the day of His glory? Then take on the yoke of Jesus Christ. Take on the yoke of First Baptist Church. Allow the helpers and the ministers that God has appointed in your life to do their work. Okay, let them, as Paul says here, fulfill God's word. Okay, Paul says, my stewardship, it's a fulfillment of the word of God. Why? So that the Gentiles might be a pleasing offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me and let your deacons and let this fellowship bring to completion the project that Christ began when He surrendered His life for you on the cross. Submit to one another out of reverence for Him. Okay, like I said, you might think it's intrusive. It's just the word of God. It is the will of God so that you can be presented perfect and complete on that great day. There is a work in your own personal life that remains unfinished. Okay, that is the purpose of church, at least this church, to carry on that work to completion. Heavenly Father, do your good work in us. Do your good work in me. Let each and every heart here, Lord, say the same. Do your good work in me. Fulfill your word. Fulfill your will. May we submit to your Holy Spirit, who dwells in our brothers and sisters, dwells in our midst as a congregation. May we be led by that Spirit on to completion to be presented joyful, happy, blameless, holy, and pure on the great day when Jesus Christ comes to save. May it be so, Lord God, according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.